our news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good evening. This is the Prime Evening News for today, Thursday, January 25th, 2018. I am Richie Ferrall. Here are your headlines. Dominica, UK Wales barrister Darren Sylvester explains legal process of holding governments to task. Demand for Dominica CBI second passports increase as tax regulations in Dominica are minimized compared to EU and the United States. And U.S. President Donald Trump questions whether peace talks with Israel will ever resume, blaming the Palestinians. Your news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. More details coming up.
Shop at Courts today to revamp your style, renew your energy, and redecorate your home with up to 50% off appliances, furniture, and electronics. Get the TCL 28-inch LED TV for as low as $699 cash. Save $200, weekly $10. Or save $300 on the Indorama 32-inch cooker for only $1,999. Weekly $28. Plus, pay absolutely nothing down and nothing for 30 days. Clearance prices on old items to make room for new arrivals. Offer on for a limited time only. Thursday, January 25th to Wednesday, January 31st. See in store for new arrivals. Courts, bringing value home.
Here's what's making news. General Secretary of the Dominica Public Service Union, Thomas Leiter, says trade unions cannot operate as they did 50 years ago. He says in light of globalization, trade unions need to invest in an effort to offer more to its members. He says a trade union cannot operate solely on member fees.
One of the things that you have to do if you're going to improve services is to have the financial resources to enable you to do so. And then the question of investment comes in. So unions, first thing is that unions need to invest. And at the Dominica Public Service Union, we have been doing that. We have invested in a security firm. We manage a restaurant. We have two conference rooms. We provide other services to the members, which they are not for profit. For example, our instant cash is not really a profit making thing. It is to service the members in case they have some pressing need for money. We also assist our members with medical assistance, that is finance, as well as education. So these are some of the things that we provide to the members. As I said, the investment is very important because you need the money to be able to assist you in providing the services.
Leiter says moving forward, the union is looking at its retirees who remain with the union.
That is where we may have to come up with things like assisting them maybe every 2 years with some financial package. We may have to assist with funeral expenses after they would have passed, and as well as medical. It's their birthday, you provide them with a birthday gift, and you know, those kind of things we have to begin to think of assisting our members, because these are the people who over the years would have contributed to the financial stability of the organization, and after they would have retired, it would not be nice just to forget them. So our negotiations with government will take that aspect into consideration. And, so as I said, the PSU has been providing a lot of services. We also provide preschool services to our members. So it's not that we are boasting, but it is a fact that when it comes to the Caribbean, we are leading in terms of the non-traditional services that we provide to members, as well as we are the only union that has gone as far as embarking on the level of investment that we are involved in.
General Secretary of the Dominica Public Service Union, Thomas Slater. The National Development Foundation of Dominica, NDFD, on Thursday hosted its first ever business forum at the Prevo Cinemall. The forum, which was held under the theme Future Proofing Your Business After a Disaster, is aimed at assisting those who've been affected by the hurricane. Executive Director of the NDFD, Cletus Joseph, says the forum is being held during a challenging time as businesses are still recovering from Hurricane Maria.
And today's forum has come at a time when we are challenged, and challenged in many manners, in many ways. And sometimes, on a personal level, I believe that we are really starting from scratch. It's like we are born again into something that we are not even too sure as to where we are going. I'm a parent, and one of the things I always learned was when you make children, they don't come with a manual. And hence, you learn as you go along. And in discussions with various persons, I realized that as we go along, post this disaster, we are seeing things that we have to do better and we have to improve upon. And my advice to us and to myself is that we're not the know-it-all, and we have to learn from each other. And hence the reason for a forum like this, which we hope by the end of it, towards the end of it, will be a more interactive one where we may be able to share experiences and ask questions to clarify any doubts that we have.
Mr. Joseph has also cited the need for creating a crisis management plan in the event of a disaster.
Now, you are operating a business, but you don't control how things turn out, which is why you have to tweak and twist as you move along. Hence the reason why we have to anticipate and plan for adverse conditions, which may suddenly and brutally strike us. The crisis management plan, what are the critical things we need after a disaster? That's one of the questions that the crisis management plan will answer. And some people may jump up and say, we need money, we need human resources, we need utilities, electricity, water. Money, where do we get it? We may not have it in reserve at the time, but if we had planned and had an insurance plan, then it will assist and somebody will take care of that little part of it. The human resources. On the 19th of September, a few staff members and I were at our office because we came to see what happened. We came to see how it is that we can, what happened to us and how we can start rebuilding. So the human resources is required. Electricity, water, how are we going to do that? Do we use Domlec or do we have to get generators? Water, do we rely on Dowasco all the time or do we have a plan? And all of these could form part of your disaster plan.
Executive Director of the NDFD, Cletus Joseph. Meantime, the NDFD is assisting its small business members to make their businesses more disaster resilient. Business Development Officer at the NDFD, Sharon Vidal Francis, says the NDFD is hoping that this discussion will equip members with the necessary information to be able to resume operations within a reasonable time following a disaster.
Well, we know the challenges faced by the small business owners, and they are faced with challenges such as insurance, legal agreements between partners or owners of a company, and a lot of challenges are faced after disaster. You know that recently we had Hurricane Maria, and they are faced with a number of challenges. So we thought this forum would be fitting for them in order to acquire knowledge or information on how to succeed after disaster.
Business Development Officer at the NDFD, Sharon Vidal Francis. You're listening to Q95 News. A team of scientists from the United Kingdom, funded by the British government, are on island researching and assessing the amount of infrastructural damage brought on Dominica by Hurricane Maria in 2017. Team leader Dr. Richard Atiyu says when he was approached for this assignment, he accepted without hesitation, as he has developed a personal liking to Dominica prior to Hurricane Maria.
Okay, well, I'm Dr. Richard Tew, and I'm from the University of Portsmouth in England. I'm out here leading a team of scientists from the UK, funded by the British government, to get out and research some of the issues then with the damage and devastation caused by Hurricane Maria. Partly looking at the physical side, the destruction to the landscape of Dominica. I've known Dominica for many years, over 10 years now. We've been coming to work up at Portsmouth, in Portsmouth area, quite often because of the we share the same name for our towns. And therefore, I'm very much aware of how much devastation there's been to the Caribbean's nature island. Mm-hmm. So we're focusing on partly looking at the physical side and the damage and the debris and how much that's destroyed bits of key infrastructure. That's key, what we're really focusing on for the first part of our work here for about 2 weeks or so.
According to Dr. Tew, two more colleagues will be coming in after his team's initial assessment on the island to assist the Red Cross in building community resilience and cooperation throughout the country.
And then for the second 2 weeks, we've got another colleague, Carmen Solana. She's coming out here to focus on working with the communities to work out how they can cope better, to try and improve community resilience, and that's linking in with some of the activities of the Dominica Red Cross. And we've also got a student, Martin Parham, who's been working with some of the secondary schools around Roseau, Portsmouth, and out at Castle Bruce, looking at how the students there have changed their perceptions as they go through the education in geography each year. He'll be coming out as well and continuing his studies of that.
Team leader Dr. Richard Tew. Tew spoke to Q95 News on Wednesday. MP for the Salisbury constituency and former information technology assistant at Dominica Banana Management Corporation, DBMC, Hector John, does not believe Dominica has over 3,000 farmers, as announced on Wednesday by Dominica's agriculture minister, Johnson Drygo.
When I was at DBMC, when I lived in 2006, we had less than 3,000 farmers. That is banana farmers, for the record. When I came back in 2009, I helped with a project, and we had between Fair Trade and Apex at that time, they were sharing just about 300 farmers. That is banana farmers. The banana industry subsidizes the other sectors, non-banana crops. So you're talking about, let's just say you have roughly another 1,000 farmers doing non-banana crops. So you're looking at, in a region of about 1,005 to 2,000 farmers.
John hinted at the reason why he thinks the registration process carried out by the Agriculture Ministry may be flawed.
Any assistance given to the farmer, I mean, 100% supportive. And that money should have been given to the farmers 6 weeks after the storm. We are into 18 weeks after the storm. So you see the delays that we're having and farmers getting access to that cash to go back to their farms, getting inputs, getting things done. So that is where I'm looking at. When you call farmers, people to come and register as farmers, you are disrespecting the Ministry of Agriculture Extension staff right away, because they should know the farmers. They should report to have the database. When I work at DBMC, I was in charge of the database. We had extension officers and they would report back to me. They had the least support control officers as well. They would report back to me. And that's where I would know the amount of farmers we have, active farmers, what district they were producing, the acreages.
MP for the Salisbury constituency and former information technology assistant at DBMC, Hector John. Dominican barrister and solicitor in England and Wales, Darren Sylvester, has sought to clarify the ways in which a government should be held accountable when attempts are made by the administration to gain complete power over a country.
If they go above and beyond their powers and act in what's called ultra vires, above their powers, then maybe the legislature, parliament, or in Dominica's case, the House of Assembly, should bring them to book or take them to task, because the House of Assembly is comprised of both the opposition and the government ministers, and things should be scrutinized there, debated there, before things pass and become law. So this is one way of a checks imbalances occurring. In the United Kingdom, we have the House of Commons, which are the elected representatives, and the House of Lords, which are the unelected representatives. We call that a bicameral system. Dominica has a unicameral system, just the House of Assembly. If the executive is getting too powerful and the legislature is getting too powerful and exceeds its powers, this is where we say the judiciary should come in. And in the United States, understand they can strike down legislation. In the United Kingdom, we can't strike down legislation, but we can declare it incompatible. That means the government have to go back and review it and make it compatible. I'm not sure if Dominica has such powers. It doesn't appear in their constitution. But this is, again, where each aspect of democracy has its checks and balances to prevent governments becoming totalitarian, their powers becoming unlimited, and therefore harming democracy.
And that was Dominican barrister and solicitor in England and Wales, Darren Sylvester. Minister for Education in Dominica, Peter Sejar, says the task of rebuilding the education sector cannot be done solely by the Ministry of Education. Sejar says although the damage caused by Maria may appear as a mammoth one, it can be restored. Minister Sejar was speaking at a ceremony of the Goodwill Primary School recently.
However, be it as it may, we recognize in the Ministry of Education that the task of rebuilding the education system cannot be done only by the state. The mammoth task of rebuilding left by Maria, while appears to be a daunting one, is not insurmountable. And that is why this morning I feel a special sense of gratitude, and I wish at this moment to express on behalf of the Ministry of Education and Human Resource Development, the government of Dominica, and indeed the principal staff and teachers of Goodwill Primary and Ebenezer SDA, to express profound gratitude to you, sir, Mr. Dodds, and your staff, and please convey to Rubis West Indies the profound gratitude of the government of Dominica for the investment that you have made in the lives of our children.
Meantime, Sejar commended Senator Miriam Blanchard for the major role she played in the renovation of the Goodwill Primary School auditorium.
And I want to thank Senator Blanchard for her spirit of aggression in ensuring that not only Goodwill School's auditorium was renovated, but she has taken it in the wider Roseau North and Roseau community. And I really want to thank you for making our work at the ministry much easier. Now, while some may consider $190,000 to be a small investment, and I'll deal with that in a short while, in reality, you, the students and staff of Goodwill Primary and Ebenezer SDA, you understand the immeasurable value of this $190,000. Within the Ministry of Education, we understand the importance and the magnitude of this $190,000 investment.
Minister for Education Peter Sejar. The Goodwill Primary School auditorium was renovated by Rubis Dominica to the sum of EC $190,000. There is increasing interest in the second citizenship program offered by the government of Dominica, according to one citizenship consultancy firm. The rise in demand for Dominica citizenship took off after the revisions to the Dominica Citizenship by Investment Act. The revisions proved beneficial for the CBI unit of the country, as the global demand for the program has risen dramatically. The rise in Dominica's citizenship popularity is based on many other factors as well, including minimal tax regulations in Dominica compared to most countries in the EU and America. According to one consultant, Dominica's citizenship is the current best seller. He also said that the Dominica Citizenship by Investment Unit has received the highest number of inquiries approximately 69%, and a huge increase in applications from across the globe for a second passport. This is Q95 News. United States President Donald Trump has questioned whether peace talks with Israel will ever resume, blaming the Palestinians. Mr. Trump said Palestinians had disrespected the U.S. in the wake of his controversial decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Respect has to be shown to the U.S. or we're just not going any further, he told reporters recently. The Palestinians say the U.S. can no longer be considered a neutral broker. President Mahmoud Abbas has called Mr. Trump's declaration on Jerusalem in December the slap of the century. That's the Prime Evening News. First, a recap of our headlines. Dominica, UK, Wales barrister Darren Sylvester explains legal process of holding governments to task. Demand for Dominica CBI second passports increase as tax regulations in Dominica are minimized compared to EU and the US. And US President Donald Trump questions whether peace talks with Israel will ever resume, blaming the Palestinians. Your news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited. If you missed any of our news packages, log on to our website at q95da.com to view the stories or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. For any breaking story or latest development, send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message. Those numbers are 616-2130 or 276-2147. On behalf of the entire news team, I am Richie Ferrall.
Top of the hour news as it happens.